Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
A housing order has come into effect for poultry flocks and captive birds to protect them from bird flu following a number of cases in wild birds since December. In the north of Ireland, 64,000 birds are to be slaughtered at a commercial poultry unit in Tyrone after the discovery of a suspected case of avian flu there. For more, I'm joined on the line by Dr. Gerald Barry, Assistant Professor of Virology at UCD. Good morning, Gerald.
Good morning, Philip.
Not the first case in Europe, increased numbers of cases in the wild bird population, but the first case this year on the island of Ireland.
The first case in a poultry flock, a commercial poultry flock. We have had cases in wild birds confirmed on the island, but yeah, this is the first case on a farm, unfortunately.
Is the poultry industry well adapted to this now? Because, of course, this has been occurring with increasing frequency in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I think, and it's associated probably with increased frustration within the industry as well. I think this is a major challenge that unfortunately the industry encounters every single year, really, at this stage. There are cases in farms and they're adapted in the sense that I suppose psychologically they're used to it, but they always kind of, I would say, live in fear of it. It's increasingly becoming a regular event, which, you know, in the past it wasn't. So that, you know, it just leads to increased stress in the industry and fear, really, that somebody's farm could be the next one that might have an outbreak, which can be really devastating.
Of course, they're absolutely devastating to have to kill 64,000 animals who may be healthy. It must be a just hugely traumatic kind of experience to have to go through. But so far, when we take those actions, has it proven sufficient to containing the spread of the virus?
I think to an extent, yes. I mean, aggressive biosecurity measures do work to an extent. I think when we kind of house birds, but also we set up exclusion zones and movement protocols in place, so the actual farm, it isn't just that you cull the animals, you stop any food that was coming off that farm, you dispose of the waste from that farm, but also you set up movement controls in the area, because even trucks going onto the farm or people going onto the farm could potentially spread it to other farms. Those kind of measures, those aggressive measures, can be effective to an extent. But, you know, even in the past, we have seen clusters of outbreaks, even with those control measures in place. So it isn't always 100% effective, but to an extent, it's as good as we can do, really, to try and stop this. But it's very hard to stop completely because it just spreads in so many different ways.
Well, there is the new added element here now of a housing order, which is to be extended to non-commercial facilities, which means basically Mrs. Murphy with her three Rhode Island Reds scratching around in the yard at the back is going to have to house them for the duration of this order.
Yeah, in theory, yes. Now, whether that's practically possible or whether people actually do it, I think.
But why would it be desirable, I suppose, is my question, Gerald.
Yes. The idea is that wild birds are circulating, carrying this virus. And in theory, they could defecate on a garden and that feces might contain the virus and therefore pass it on to your kind of backyard hens or something like that. So by keeping them indoors, you're minimizing the potential for that kind of contact. So in theory, but in reality, whether people can actually do that, that's another question altogether. But I think what it does is it maybe just highlights to people that do have the few hens in the back garden that, you know, this kind of virus is circulating. It could be damaging to your chickens if you do have a few chickens, but also it highlights to people, hopefully, that there's a risk potentially of transmission to humans as well. So if you have chickens that are infected, close contact with those chickens could be a risk of transmission to the owners. So I suppose whether people bring them indoors or not is one question. If they can, they probably should. If they can't, I think I would more stress the idea just to watch out. If your chickens get sick over the next few weeks, be aware it could be influenza, and to contact your vet as quickly as possible.
It is a zoonotic disease, this avian flu, making the jump from one species to another. Why is it that in the United States it has so successfully, in I think up to 600 different cattle herds, made that leap from birds to cattle and then in some cases on to human beings, but we haven't seen the same happening here in Europe?
Yeah, well, I suppose we haven't yet, maybe, is what I would say. I think these kind of things, once they happen in one place, you would almost inevitably expect them to start occurring in other places as well. That's not to say that we're going to get outbreaks in cattle anytime soon, but these kind of things do tend to spread, not necessarily immediately, but over time they do tend to spread. It's been clusters of infections, particularly in California, actually. They've had major outbreaks on farms, but across the US where cattle have been moving from one location to another, they've seen outbreaks, and then consequently farm workers have become infected as well. And the problem is, when you have those kind of major outbreaks in a particular animal or a particular species, the likelihood then of transmission to other species increases, and the likelihood of it then ending back up in the bird population increases as well. And of course, the way birds move globally, these kind of things then tend to shuffle their way across either south down into South America or eventually across into places like Russia and onward into Europe and Africa eventually as well. So that kind of global circulation of these viruses is happening on a constant basis. And so we're trying to watch for these kind of changes, these kind of outbreaks, particularly in mammalian species, and track them if we can, to see where they might pop up next.
Indeed, I was looking at some migratory Brent geese with a very different set of glasses on quite recently. One of the things that is markedly different about food production in the United States as opposed to Europe is that they have found ways of reconstituting chicken litter from the floors of large commercial poultry operations into feed for cattle. The cattle are literally eating chicken shit. That may or may not have anything to do with the way the disease is being spread here, but it would be a precaution that we might be happy that we have taken in Europe.
Yeah, I think it probably goes back maybe to an extent to the BSE crisis, where we, and through calamities like that, where animals were being fed other animal product or waste, potentially in some cases, that was untreated or poorly treated. I think in Europe we're very cautious of that kind of an approach. And so the idea of using waste to feed another animal would be probably frowned upon to an extent. Particularly, we're very cautious about waste coming from chicken farms because of issues like avian influenza. Waste is used from chicken farms, but it would be used as a kind of a compost or a manure for growing vegetables in particular, or contributing to anaerobic digesters or something like that. But as a food source, that will be very rare if it happens at all. I don't think that kind of thing would really happen in Europe as much. But again, even going back to that idea, if we get a flu outbreak on a farm, it gets picked up very quickly. And so even the waste that would maybe normally have been spread on a field to help grow some crops or some mushrooms or something, that is removed as well. So even the waste coming from the farms would be disposed of and destroyed. So even that potential doesn't occur, thankfully.
Gerald, did the pandemic change the calculus around how we treat these diseases? Are we better at the biosecurity efforts now, conscious of the fact that we don't know which one of these zoonotic viruses could make the leap into becoming a human pandemic again?
I think, Philip, to be honest, it depends who you're talking to. I think in arguably scientific circles or say within the Department of Agriculture or something like that, to an extent, the pandemic has definitely made people sit up and think about these potentials and the potential for an impact like a pandemic happening. And in places like the Department of Health, of course, as well, they're very conscious of zoonotic diseases. But I think probably on a national scale, in terms of whether we've learned the lessons properly and put proper measures in place to effectively protect ourselves, both on a national and international level, I don't think really we have. I think there's a lot more we could be doing, probably a lot more we could be spending in the right areas to reduce the risk more, but also preparing for the inevitable spillover that will happen. You know, so it's not necessarily about trying to protect chickens because it might protect humans, but it's accepting the fact that these kind of spillover events will eventually happen at some point, to put measures in place to stop us having to go into things like lockdowns again. And I don't think if we were being honest with ourselves on a national and international level, we've really taken the warning of the pandemic seriously enough. I don't think we've put the proper measures in place, unfortunately.
What are you talking about here, Gerald?
We could probably put a lot more resources into that. And I think we're kind of missing a trick and maybe burying our heads in the sand a little bit.
Give me some specifics here, Gerald. Like, you know, if I made you Minister for Agriculture or EU Agriculture Commissioner tomorrow, what would you do that's not being done?
Well, I think the first thing I would do is I would establish what I would call a One Health approach to this whole thing. So I wouldn't be specific to agriculture. I think this is a whole of government problem. I think we saw during the pandemic that this is something that impacts on everything from employment to finance to health and everything in between. So we need to take, rather than a fragmented approach, asking agriculture to look after the chickens and asking health to look after hospitals, et cetera, that we need to take a One Health approach to this. And we need to work with people on an international level and work together in a holistic way, I suppose, building, for example, proper communications between agriculture and public health that allows us to link our detection systems in a more effective way. You know, if we get an outbreak in a poultry farm or a pig farm, do we have the proper communication processes to link to our local GPs to warn them that there might be an outbreak of flu or something else? We don't really, you know, those kind of holistic approaches are necessary, and we haven't really properly built those chains of communication, chains of holistic research on a One Health level. And I think as well, we need to seriously look at things like building up reservoirs of vaccines, to be honest. You know, we don't really have, if we get a flu outbreak, okay, we can make vaccines, but we don't really have a reserve of vaccines, perhaps on an international level, that we could immediately deploy to protect a population, or even deploy new vaccines or develop new vaccines for the potential of new things that might emerge. We're not really doing that kind of stuff on a grand scale, I suppose. And I look at, you know, things like how much money we put into defence against invasions from other countries. You know, if I was at a government level, I'd be thinking, really, from a defence point of view, an infectious disease is probably something we should be building up defences against as well. And that's the way I would look at it. You know, I think a lot of us would say that the pandemic was like a war against a virus. I think we need to be building up better defences against these kind of things on a whole national level across government. I think that's probably what I would try and do.
Okay. Dr. Gerald Barry, Assistant Professor of Virology in UCD, thank you very much for talking to us.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.